A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's the kind of question that sounds simple until you actually try to answer it. He's asking about four political labels: liberal, left-wing, libertarian, progressive, and whether they describe genuinely different ideologies or are mostly media shorthand. The real kicker is how the same word can mean almost opposite things depending on which country you're in. A liberal in Germany and a liberal in California may agree on nothing except the spelling.
That's not a minor translation issue. It's a fundamental confusion about what the word even describes. If you're reading international news and you see Liberal Party wins seats, you cannot know whether that means tax cuts and deregulation or higher social spending and environmental regulation, without checking which country the article is about.
Which makes it the political equivalent of football. You think you know what sport is being discussed until you realize you're talking to someone from a different continent.
That's actually a perfect analogy. So let's start with a simple question that turns out to have a very complicated answer. What does liberal actually mean?
I want to flag something before we dive in. Unlike conservatism, which we talked about recently and note it has no single foundational philosopher you can point to across the world, liberalism does have a clear intellectual lineage. John Locke, Adam Smith, John Stuart Mill. There's an actual family tree. The confusion isn't that the word has no history. It's that the history produced branches that now disagree with each other.
And those branches aren't just academic distinctions. They're real political identities that determine how people vote, what policies they support, and how they understand the role of government. So we're going to trace four labels today: liberal, left-wing, libertarian, and progressive. Some of these represent genuine ideological families with distinct policy commitments. Others are, frankly, media shorthand for not conservative. The thesis is that the confusion isn't accidental. It reflects real historical forks in the road that happened at different times in different countries.
The practical consequence is that voters in different countries who think they agree on liberalism may actually disagree on fundamentals. International coalitions paper over these differences, but they reemerge the moment you get to actual policy.
To understand why the same word means different things, we have to go back to the beginning, to the philosophers who first defined liberalism.
Classical liberalism, roughly 17th through 19th centuries. Locke, Smith, Mill, and later thinkers like Wilhelm von Humboldt. The core idea was individual liberty, limited government, free markets, and deep skepticism of concentrated power. This is the trunk from which everything else grew. Locke's argument was that individuals have natural rights that exist before government, and government's only legitimate purpose is to protect those rights. Smith argued that free exchange produces prosperity without central direction. Mill argued for freedom of thought and expression as essential to human flourishing.
What's crucial here is that classical liberalism was, in its time, a left-wing movement. It was pushing against monarchy, against established churches, against aristocratic privilege. The classical liberals were the radicals. They wanted to dismantle hereditary power and replace it with individual rights and representative government.
Which is why it's so historically jarring when modern American conservatives invoke classical liberal ideas. They're reaching back to a tradition that was, in its original context, deeply anti-establishment.
Now, the first major fork happens in the 1930s. In the United States, the Great Depression reshapes what liberal means. Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal uses the word liberal to describe an active welfare state, economic regulation, social insurance. This was a deliberate rhetorical move. Roosevelt and his allies argued that true liberty required freedom from economic desperation. You couldn't be free if you were starving. So liberal, in America, came to mean support for government intervention in the economy to protect the vulnerable.
Meanwhile, in Europe, the same position, support for an active welfare state, labor rights, social insurance, was called social democrat. and the word liberal stayed closer to its classical meaning, free markets, limited government, individual liberty. So you get this split where the same word now describes opposite economic policies on different sides of the Atlantic.
This is what linguists call semantic drift. A word's meaning shifts over time within a specific speech community, but not necessarily in others. And the 1930s is when the American and European meanings of liberal really diverge. The German Free Democratic Party, the FDP, calls itself liberal and advocates tax cuts and deregulation, the opposite of what an American liberal wants. The Australian Liberal Party, despite the name, is the center-right party. It's conservative on economics, socially moderate. Americans visiting Australia are perpetually confused by this.
I remember watching Australian election coverage and seeing Liberal Party in blue, and my American brain short-circuited for a solid 30 seconds.
That's the semantic drift in action. Now the second major fork is the libertarian movement in the 20th century. Thinkers like Friedrich Hayek, Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, Robert Nozick, they reclaimed classical liberal economics but pushed further. Hayek's The Road to Serfdom argued that centralized economic planning inevitably leads to tyranny. Nozick's Anarchy, State, and Utopia argued for a minimal state limited to protecting individual rights, no redistribution, no welfare state, just a night watchman government.
Here's where it gets interesting. The libertarians added something the classical liberals didn't emphasize as much. Radical positions on personal freedom, drug legalization, opposition to military conscription, anti-war foreign policy. This created a weird tension. Libertarians agree with modern American liberals on social issues. They're pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, anti-surveillance state, but they disagree completely on economics.
That's why the Republican who smokes weed caricature is both unfair and kind of accurate. Libertarianism has a coherent intellectual tradition that differs from both modern liberalism and conservatism on fundamental principles. It's not just Republicans who want to get high. It's a genuine philosophical position that says individual liberty is the highest political value, period, and that applies to both your wallet and your bedroom.
The numbers bear this out. In the U.S., libertarian polls as a distinct political identity for about 3-4% of voters. But many more people hold libertarian-leaning views without adopting the label. You get people who say they're fiscally conservative and socially liberal. That's functionally a libertarian position, but they don't call themselves that.
In Europe, libertarian barely registers as a political identity at all. The term liberal still carries the classical meaning there, so people who want free markets and personal freedom just call themselves liberals. There's no need for a separate label. The European liberal parties, the FDP in Germany, the VVD in the Netherlands, Venstre in Denmark, they occupy the space that American libertarians wish they could fill.
The word liberal underwent a transformation in the United States starting in the 1930s, while European usage stayed closer to the 19th century meaning. That's the foundational split. And everything else, the confusion, the international coalition tensions, the media framing, flows from that.
That's the historical fork that created the U.S.-Europe divide. But what about the other labels? Progressive, left-wing, libertarian? Are they different ideologies or just marketing?
Let's start with progressive. This one has its own distinct lineage. The progressive movement emerged in the early 20th century, roughly the 1890s through the 1920s, as a reformist alternative to the existing political establishment. The progressives were skeptical of corporate power, supported direct democracy through initiatives and referendums, and wanted to professionalize government through civil service reform and expert administration.
The key figures were people like Robert La Follette, Theodore Roosevelt during his Bull Moose period, and later thinkers like John Dewey. They weren't socialists. They believed in capitalism, but they thought it needed to be tamed by democratic institutions. The progressive impulse was about cleaning up corruption, breaking up monopolies, and giving ordinary people more direct control over government.
Today, progressive is often used as a synonym for liberal, but with a more activist, anti-establishment connotation. If you call yourself a progressive rather than a liberal, you're generally signaling that you think the liberal establishment isn't moving fast enough or far enough. It's the difference between, let's improve the system, and the system is broken and needs fundamental change.
there's research on this. Media outlets use progressive as a euphemism for liberal, in contexts where liberal has become a slur, especially in U.S. conservative media. The word liberal got so effectively demonized over several decades that many people who hold liberal positions started calling themselves progressives instead. It's a rebranding exercise.
Which is itself a fascinating data point about how political language works. The ideas didn't change, the label did, because the old label had been poisoned.
Now, left-wing is a broader category. In political science, left-wing refers to positions favoring social equality, collective action, and some degree of redistribution. This includes social democrats, democratic socialists, communists, and many progressives. The key distinction is that liberal is a subset of left-wing, but not all left-wing positions are liberal.
Explain that boundary.
The boundary is property. Classical liberalism, and even modern American liberalism, accepts private property rights as legitimate. Liberals want to regulate markets and redistribute some wealth through taxation, but they don't want to abolish private ownership of the means of production. A Marxist does. That's a left-wing position, but it's not a liberal one. It rejects a core liberal principle.
You can be left-wing without being liberal, but you can't really be liberal without being somewhere on the left, at least in the modern American sense.
In the American sense, yes. But remember, in Europe, a liberal might be center-right economically, so even that generalization breaks down across borders.
Which brings us to the global variation, because the label confusion gets even more dramatic once you leave the North Atlantic.
Let's run through some examples. In Latin America, liberal often means pro-market, pro-US, and, here's the twist, socially conservative. It's almost the opposite of US liberalism. A Latin American liberal in the 19th century tradition was someone who wanted free trade, foreign investment, and secular government, but was often quite traditional on social issues. That meaning has persisted.
In India, liberal means secular and pro-free speech, generally associated with the center-left. The Indian National Congress, which is the main center-left party, is a member of the Liberal International, the global federation of liberal parties. But its economic policies are more interventionist than what a European liberal would support.
The Liberal International is actually a perfect case study in how broad the tent is. It includes the U.S. Democratic Party, which is center-left by American standards. It includes the German FDP, which is center-right and pro-business. It includes the Indian National Congress, which is centrist and secular. These parties agree on almost nothing in terms of specific economic policy. What holds them together is a general commitment to individual rights, democratic institutions, and some version of market economics. But the details vary enormously.
In the UK, the Liberal Democrats are centrist, pro-European, and socially liberal, distinct from both Labour on the left and the Conservatives on the right. They occupy a space that doesn't really have an American equivalent. They're not Democrats. They're not Republicans. They're not even quite Libertarians. There's something else entirely.
In France, Macron's Ensemble Alliance is described as liberal, meaning centrist and pro-business. In the 2025 legislative elections, Ensemble ran against both the far-right National Rally and the left-wing New Popular Front Alliance. So, liberal in France means occupying the center, defending market reforms, and positioning yourself as the reasonable alternative to extremes on both sides.
What's striking is that in every one of these countries, liberal is a meaningful political identity that people vote for and organize around, but the policy content of that identity is completely different in each case. It's not just different flavors of the same thing. It's different things wearing the same name tag.
This has real political consequences. When people from different countries try to build coalitions using these labels, the differences reemerge in policy debates. The Liberal International can issue statements about human rights and democracy that everyone agrees on, but the moment they try to take a position on, say, trade policy or taxation, the coalition fractures. Because a German FDP member and an American Democrat have fundamentally different views on what the state should do in the economy.
Let's talk about the media construct question directly, because Daniel asked how many of these labels reflect substantive differences versus being media descriptions. I think the answer is, it's a spectrum. Libertarian describes a fairly coherent ideological tradition with canonical texts and identifiable policy positions. Progressive is fuzzier. It has a historical lineage, but today it's often used as a vibe more than a specific platform.
Left-wing is the broadest category, and it's the one most often used pejoratively in media. When a news outlet describes a policy as left-wing, they're often implying extremism, even if the policy is just standard social democracy. The label carries valence. It's not a neutral descriptor.
Liberal is the most context-dependent of all. In the US, it's a mainstream political identity. In parts of Eastern Europe, calling someone a liberal is an insult that implies they're out of touch with national traditions. In Russia, liberal is practically a slur used by state media to describe Western-backed opposition figures.
There's a knock-on effect here that's worth examining. The label confusion doesn't just cause misunderstandings between countries, it shapes domestic politics within countries. In the US, the fact that liberal became a dirty word in certain circles pushed many people toward progressive as an alternative label. That shift wasn't just cosmetic. It changed the internal dynamics of the Democratic Party, because progressive carries different historical baggage, more confrontational, more skeptical of compromise, more movement-oriented.
The labels aren't just describing political reality, they're actively shaping it. The words people choose to describe themselves affect what coalitions they join, what policies they prioritize, and how they relate to political opponents.
This is where the global comparison becomes useful. When you see that liberal means something completely different in Australia than it does in the United States, it forces you to ask, what do I actually believe, as opposed to what label do I wear? The label is a shortcut, and shortcuts break down across borders.
If the labels are this unreliable, how do we actually make sense of political positions across borders? Here are three practical takeaways.
First, when reading political news from another country, ignore the label and look at the actual policy positions. A liberal party in Germany and a liberal in the US may agree on nothing except the name. Check what they actually propose on taxation, on social spending, on regulation. The label tells you almost nothing. The platform tells you everything.
Second, for listeners who want to understand their own political identity better, ask yourself a diagnostic question. Do you agree with classical liberalism? Limited government, free markets, individual liberty is the highest value, or modern American liberalism, active government, regulated markets, social insurance as essential to freedom. These are different families, and knowing which one you belong to clarifies a lot of otherwise confusing positions.
Third, be skeptical of media framing that uses progressive as a catch-all for anything left of center. It obscures real divisions between social democrats, democratic socialists, and liberals, divisions that matter enormously for policy outcomes. A social democrat and a democratic socialist may agree on universal health care, but they disagree on whether private insurance should exist at all. That's not a minor difference.
It's the difference between markets need guardrails and markets are the problem. Those are not the same position, and lumping them both under progressive hides a genuine fault line.
That fault line is going to become more important, not less, as the global political landscape shifts.
Which brings us to the big question. Where do these labels go from here?
The forces that are reshaping politics right now don't map neatly onto the old categories. We're seeing new cleavages emerge, tech versus labor, globalist versus nationalist, urban versus rural. These cut across the traditional liberal-conservative divide. You can find people who are socially liberal and economically nationalist, or socially conservative and economically globalist. The old labels don't capture these combinations well.
The rise of right-wing populism in Europe is pushing some liberal parties leftward on economics while keeping them socially liberal, creating a position that's hard to describe with the existing vocabulary. Meanwhile, in the US, the liberal label is being challenged from the left by progressive and from the libertarian right by people who want free markets and personal freedom.
I think the next decade may see a realignment where the old labels become increasingly obsolete. We might need new terminology to describe the emerging political landscape. The question is whether the new labels will be more precise or just create new confusions.
Probably both, if history is any guide. Political language doesn't get cleaner over time. It accumulates meanings, sheds some, picks up others. The word liberal has been evolving for 3 centuries, and it's not going to stop now.
What I'd add is that this isn't just an academic exercise. The label confusion has real stakes. When international coalitions form around shared terminology that masks deep disagreements, those coalitions become brittle. They can issue joint statements, but they struggle to govern together. We've seen this in the European Parliament, where liberal parties from different countries often vote differently on economic legislation despite sharing a party group.
At the individual level, clarity about what you actually believe, as opposed to what label you adopt, is liberating. It lets you evaluate policies on their merits rather than on whether they match your team's position. That's harder work than just checking the label, but it produces better political judgment.
The actionable summary is, when you encounter these labels, treat them as clues, not answers. A political label tells you something about the history and self-conception of the person or party using it, but it doesn't tell you their policy positions. For that, you have to actually look at what they propose.
If you're trying to describe your own politics, consider describing your actual views rather than reaching for a label. I believe X about taxation and Y about social issues communicates more than I'm a liberal, especially if you're talking to someone from a different country.
The labels aren't useless. They carry history, they signal tribal affiliation, they help people find political communities. But they're also misleading when used across borders or without context. The goal isn't to abandon them, it's to use them with awareness of their limitations.
That awareness is what we've been trying to build here. Not a definitive answer to what does liberal mean, because there isn't one, but a mental toolkit for decoding what someone means when they use the word in a particular context.
The open question I want to leave listeners with is this, as the old left-right spectrum fractures under pressure from new issues. AI regulation, climate migration, digital sovereignty, will these labels converge or diverge further? My guess is divergence. The word liberal in 2050 may mean something we wouldn't recognize today.
That's both exciting and slightly terrifying for anyone trying to follow international politics. But at least now you know to check which country you're reading about before you assume you know what the article means.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late Victorian period, there were an estimated 140 distinct types of lamellophones, instruments that produce sound by plucking tuned metal or bamboo tongues, in active use across the various cultural groups of the Namib Desert region.
Right, right.
140 ways to pluck a metal tongue in the desert.
I have so many questions, and I'm going to ask none of them.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend who's ever been confused by international political coverage, which is probably everyone. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.